For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Get connected to what's happening in Shasta County. Tune in to KCNR, the Shasta Live Show, your weekly dose of local business, community buzz, and dining discoveries. Join the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, Reading Buzz, and Eat Shasta every Monday night from 6.05 to 7 p.m. Can't catch it live? No problem. Listen to the archives anytime at KCNR1460.com. KCNR and the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, your community connection.
In the House.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the Jason in the House podcast. We've got a special one here. You know, we're still dealing in the aftermath and the difficulty of what happened with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That having been there with my wife who was coming in, we had driven separately. She was driving in and parking the car and coming on in, and then our daughter and son-in-law, who were all there. I think you've heard, at least seen, that I was there. I witnessed it. I saw it. And still dealing with that and processing it, because it's just not, it's not a normal human thing to have to go through that sort of experience. But we got a special episode, because we're going to talk a little bit about that. I've got a very special guest. He is the current sheriff for Washington County, Nate Brooksby. He's the sheriff down. This is Washington County, southern western part of Utah. So if you're looking at a map, you look down southwest corner, you'll see St. George, Hurricane. That's how we pronounce it down there. It's not Hurricane, it's Hurricane. And then we've, you know, you got Washington, you got Ivins, you got a lot of places, Santa Clara, etc. You have a big county down there, and we have the sheriff who's going to join us. I've had an opportunity. One of my goals was to visit all of the jails and all of the sheriffs throughout the state of Utah, because I think this is inherently something that government should be doing. I know there's a privatized way to do incarceration, but for me personally, I just believe that that's something a state and a county and elected officials should be handling. And so your sheriffs, what's interesting about them, as they're found in the Constitution, is that they're all elected. And so when you go out and you meet with the sheriff, you think, wow, all right. This sheriff, he actually knows what's going on, because he was elected by the people to be their law enforcement, right? You give these people awesome police powers to detain people, to deal with threats. And so we have Nate Brooksby, who's one of the better sheriffs out there. I can just tell you, visiting with a lot of them, I'm not saying others are bad. I'm just saying Sheriff Brooksby is just a great one. And I visited with him a lot before this whole assassination. But when the alleged shooter actually turned himself in, it was really a discussion about how to bring him in somebody who was evidently suicidal, and make sure that he was actually detained and then ultimately incarcerated. And that's how you bring justice. And so I want to hear firsthand from him how that all went down. I don't think anybody has yet really got in depth how this whole discussion happened, because Utah Valley University, where this happened, is about 230, 240 miles away to the north in more central northern Utah. The alleged shooter was not a student at UVU. So we can talk about that. Inevitably, Sheriff Brooksby is not going to be able to talk about things that are still ongoing, the collection of evidence, who might be prosecuted, you know, what are the key elements. There are things that can't be done and shown there. You also have the Utah Department of Public Safety. You also have the FBI. And then, of course, you have another great sheriff, Mike Smith, who's the sheriff of Utah County, where the shooting actually happened in his jurisdiction. So, but nevertheless, we got Nate Brooksby coming up. So that's just a little bit of a preview of that. Let's get on to the stupid, because you know what? All the heartache, all the tough times, you got to know that there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. So let's get into that. And I want to go to Kroger. This comes to us from FoxNews.com. Here's the headline. Kroger employee fired after writing an offensive note on a customer's cup. Come on, folks. I mean, the guy, somebody just, a Ohio woman ordered Charlie Kirk's go-to Starbucks drink Sunday evening. And the allegation is that they wrote, you know, something highly offensive. I'm not going to repeat it. But come on, what? I'm glad to see that this person was fired. But how stupid are you? How petty are you? What kind of human being are you to order a drink that was favored by Charlie Kirk, and then you've got to do that? I wish we could do more than just firing this employee. You probably can't. But what an idiot. This just comes to a level of disgust to me that's just, just infuriating. All right, number two. This comes to us from the Associated Press. Here's the headline. Georgia inmate gets 80 years for making bombs, mailing them to a U.S. courthouse. This, according to the Justice Department, a person already in prison has been sentenced to 80 years in federal custody after authorities said an inmate built two bombs while behind bars and mailed them to a federal courthouse in Anchorage, Alaska, and the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. What the heck? How in the world are you building bombs in a prison and then mailing them? Federal prosecutors on Tuesday announced a sentence for an inmate authorities identified as David Dwayne Cassaday, 57, who was incarcerated in a state prison in Georgia while the devices were made. The inmate pled guilty to two counts of attempted malicious use of explosive material. Holy moly, what's going on at that prison that you have enough materials to build a bomb and then put it in the mail? Yikes, that sounds like a little bit stupid. All right, these two really do qualify for the stupid category. Those other two are like deeply concerning. But how about this headline from U.S. News? Very mean squirrel, in quotes, seeking food, has sent at least two people to the emergency room in a California city. Residents of a San Francisco Bay Area city are on lookout for an aggressive squirrel that has sent two people to the emergency room. What I wish you could see is the flyer, which picture a squirrel with its arms out in the air flying, ready to pounce. And this little note that, like, they put up flyers around the thing. It says, this is not a joke. More than five people have been attacked by a very mean squirrel over the past few days on Diablo Circle and Mount whatever it is. Be careful out there, folks. These squirrels can get pretty mean. They're all cute as can be, but yikes, they can pounce at a moment's notice, as the people of Northern California are learning. But this one might be my favorite. This, of course, comes from People Magazine. You know what a big fan I am. South Carolina teaching assistant is arrested for allegedly releasing fart spray, causing $55,000 in damage and making students physically sick. This is the allegation coming out of here with a little bit too much, use of the fart spray. He was evidently a teaching student. He was at West Florence High School, and he was using the spray, which resulted in respiratory issues and $55,000 bill to fix the air conditioning system of the building after the incident. They confirmed they had arrested the so-called perpetrator on charges of disturbing schools and malicious injury to property on September 20th. Yikes, folks. That's the stupid. We'll bring you more stupid next week.
More Jason in the House next.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just $20, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In 1971, Margaret Thatcher, then a member of Parliament, addressed the ability of women to be successful in government. This was 8 years before she became Prime Minister.
Now, I've heard this argument frequently, that women are really rather more emotional than men. Really, women are intensely practical. Again, I don't mean that flippantly. We are an intensely practical sex. We often get on with the job. We don't always talk about it as much as men. We get on doing it. But women are very much more modest in running for Parliament than men. Nothing like as many of them put up, as you know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
Praying for a miracle is complicated. It means, first of all, understanding what a miracle actually is. There's the theological definition, says author Anthony DiStefano.
A supernatural intervention by God in the natural order of things, like the parting of the Red Sea, or an overnight disappearance of a malignant tumor without any kind of a treatment.
In his writing, The Miracle Book, DiStefano cites two basic types of miracles. One where God suspends natural law, as in the parting of the Red Sea, or uses the natural world actually to answer our prayers, like getting that job, healing a relationship, or patching up our finances. But underneath those petitions, God sees our deeper need.
He looks past our words and tries to give us what we truly want, and sometimes that takes time to arrange, or sometimes he has to answer it in an unpredictable way that we're not expecting.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
Take a pause.
Working Dogs for Conservation takes rescue dogs and trains them to be conservation canines.
They open a lot of doors for conservation and do really important work all over the world.
The nonprofit's Pete Copalillo says they've got 90 dogs with remarkable noses.
Stopping poachers in Africa, you know, ending trafficking so people can't smuggle rhino horn. And we do a lot of what we call biosecurity work here in North America, stopping the spread of invasive weeds or insects.
Two of their dogs dogs Quinn and Yagi managed to track down droppings in Indonesia, possibly left by one of the most endangered animals in the world, a Sumatran rhino. There are only about 36 of these rhinos left, and the noses of Yagi and Quinn managed to find a clue to the creature despite the foreign environment.
The moist air, the scent, the smell, everything. It must have been being on another planet. But both Yagi and Quinn are super focused. They love doing their jobs.
Tick Paws. Joel Nato, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Joining us now is, as I promised, as I told you, is the sheriff for Washington County, Utah, Nate Brooksby. Sheriff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jason. I appreciate it.
Now, listen, I want to get into sheriffs a bit because I think a lot of people don't understand how law enforcement works, just the structure of it, and that, you know, these sheriffs are elected across the country, which creates a whole new paradigm but really accountable to the people, right? But I also, you know, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what went on in Utah and your role and Washington County's role in that shooting that happened up in the at Utah Valley. So if you look at the map of Utah, Utah County, Utah Valley is a university, which is our state's largest university, is up towards the north. It's like roughly 30 minutes south of Salt Lake City. But if you go down to the southwest corner of Utah, that's Washington County. And a beautiful part of the world. It's the gateway to Zion National Park. You think red rocks, a little bit of desert, got mountains. I mean, Washington County, as much as any county, has a little bit of everything, which also means the sheriff is pretty busy, right?
Yeah, so we have, you know, Pine Valley Mountain that sits at about 9,500 feet. So we have, you know, snow to contend with. We have extreme heat in the summertime, 115 degrees of dry heat, people call it from back east.
Right.
Search and rescue operations is a big part of my wheelhouse. I spent a lot of time in Virginia and Alabama, and I was a bomb tech for 16 years. So I spent a lot of time back at Quantico and Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. So having been raised in the West and having the first experience of not being able to see what's off the freeway exit because there's so many trees was kind of surreal to me. And, you know, we have in southern Utah, it would be hard to find something that has everything. We have Las Vegas an hour and a half away for entertainment. We have a snow ski resort, you know, an hour away, sand dunes, lakes, mountains. It's just hard to beat.
Well, we do a segment on this podcast. It's called There's Always Somebody Doing Something Stupid Somewhere. And my guess is every week, what's got to be interesting about being in law enforcement is people exercising that stupidity on a regular basis. So I want to get more into your background because it really is fascinating what you've done and how you got into this position of becoming the sheriff. But what I'd like to do first, if I could, is just talk through kind of from your personal perspective, what went down? Because I don't think that anybody's really heard this full story. And I don't know that I know all of it, but I know a good part of it. And I found it really interesting. And let's just kind of start with, hey, there's been a shooting and it's Charlie Kirk. And just tell me what happened.
Well, obviously you were there on site. You had to witness that. What a horrific tragedy. I was watching Fox News. I watch Fox News a lot. And saw the news flash that Charlie Kirk had been shot. And, you know, within the year, we saw that same headline pop up with President Trump. And then I was getting immediate, like, video feed sent to me. And so in the Trump attempted assassination, you could see that he was probably going to be okay. He stood up. He walked off the stage with Secret Service on his side. In the Charlie Kirk incident, I've seen a lot of shootings in my career, and it was clear to me that he was probably not going to be walking off the stage on his own at that point. It was horrific.
Yeah.
So shock, absolute shock. It's interesting because I have two teenage daughters, whether late teens, early 20s now, but they know who Charlie Kirk is because of social media. So that's been in my own view. So I gave them the news and they were just shocked like I was because they felt like they watched all of his videos, They've seen how he presents himself, and it was a shock to my entire household because we're all very familiar with Charlie Kirk. So that happened on the 10th. And then clearly a huge manhunt ensued with everyone wearing every uniform in law enforcement, whether it's federal, state, local. It was an all-hands-on-deck situation. So that ensued for, you know, 33
hours. But what were they
hours.
Telling you? I mean, you didn't really know what they were looking for, did they?
They didn't, and they didn't. I've had a couple of people say that to me, like, well, why didn't they just track him down on campus? And I said, because they didn't know what they were looking for at that point. It sounds like now we know that at some point maybe a UVU officer actually had contact with him around the area where the rifle was located. And Tyler had alluded to that in some of his text messages with his roommate there, that he was trying to get to the rifle, and it was kind of sickening to hear that he didn't care about Charlie Kirk, but his biggest concern was trying to recover a rifle that had been in his family for years and didn't want to upset his dad over it. So that was some insight.
But in real time, as it's going down, the UVU officer, if that suspect was in proximity, the UVU officer didn't know that.
Correct. Yeah, they had no idea who they were looking for at that point. And he had changed clothes. There's some different images out there of him wearing the dark shirt with the logo on front, and then other images of him scouting the area earlier in that day. He had kind of a maroon shirt on, and then later in that day after the shooting, he had that same maroon shirt back on. So he changed clothes and tried to cover his tracks as best he could.
So, but in real time, the shooting happens. Everybody's got their, hey, be on the lookout, but they didn't really know what to look for.
Right. They needed some time to be able to scour through surveillance videos. So you saw the first still pictures that came out was basically a video clip of him in the stairwell. It was kind of grainy. There were some people that took that image and applied some AI to it to kind of clean it up. But yeah, they needed a minute to figure out exactly who they were looking for, and that's just naturally going to take some time.
So then what happened? I mean, you're in Washington County. You're 250 miles away.
Yes.
It's not.
So the reality is it wasn't really in my wheelhouse. Being familiar with large-scale incidents like this, I know, just in the last few months, we had a very intense active shooter in a neighborhood just south of my home where the suspect had shot 150 rounds off just random in the neighborhood trying to shoot law enforcement that was pinned down. So just being involved in some of those, we know that everyone's going to come and everyone's going to help. And sometimes if you're looking at like the incident command structure and trying to manage your resources, sometimes you get so much help it's hard to manage. So that's right. A part of it too. It's okay, we have all these people now. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to sign them out? How are we going to track and prioritize crime scene, securing the crime scene, processing the crime scene, actively looking for a suspect, actively looking for a surveillance video for vehicles and individuals that might fit. But the reality is, since I'm 300 miles plus away, it wasn't a lot to do with Washington County at that point. So I had some communications with Sheriff Smith in Utah County, just checking in, making sure they did have plenty of resources. Obviously, I'd send anything they needed up there, but it was the responses. We have so much that we're having a hard time tracking it all. And I believe that with the population and all the law enforcement agencies in the Wasatch Front, that I could see that they would be overwhelmed with resources very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Everybody wants to help, and there are local law enforcement, county sheriffs in close proximity. You got federal resources. But then, it did show up on your radar. Explain how that went down.
So you know the backstory to this, Jason. So I was actually trying to have a relaxing weekend with my wife up in the pine trees, and so we had literally just got to a campsite. We were there for about 30 minutes, and I was just kind of setting up camp, looking forward to relaxing for a couple nights up there out of the heat. And at 8:02, I ended up getting a call on my cell phone from a friend, and it's out there. He's one of my retired law enforcement deputies. He's been retired a few years now. So we worked together for 20 plus years. So he's been retired. It's not uncommon that we call and check in on each other just to see how life's going, right? But when I said, hey, how's it going? And then he started talking, but I could tell his voice was kind of shaky. And naturally, my first thought was, well, who died? Who's going to tell me that died? And then I've said this in the past. I just couldn't fathom what came out of his mouth. So he said, I know who Charlie Kirk shooter is. I've been talking to the father. They know each other through religious affiliations. So my friend was not in church leadership or somehow the Bishop of a ward down there got drug into it, which wasn't accurate in the news that they were reporting that. So we worked on, he'd conveyed that Tyler had had some suicidal ideations and at one point was going to go out to a remote area of the county. The parents ended up talking him out of that and basically just said that we would support you, but you need to turn yourself in. We need to find a way to turn yourself in.
You're listening to Jason in the House. More of my conversation with Sheriff Nate Brooksby right after this.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
This fall, join us at Wind River Resort and Casino for our exciting $60,000 Wicked Winning Swipe to Win draw. Weekly drawings every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. through October 30th. Offering you the chance to win up to $250 in free slot play. And don't forget about our final drawing October 30th, where you could win up to $2,500 in cash prizes. For all details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
So the parents, did they recognize the picture and say, oh my goodness, that's our son? Or did the son come home and say...
No, so the pictures, you know, they were kind of grainy and they didn't really think much of it. The one kicker that kind of solidified what they eventually concluded was the photo of the rifle. Hmm. So that rifle had been in the family. You've seen articles now. It's a World War II 30-06 caliber that had been in the family for, you know, ever. And so a family heirloom. So when they saw that, and then going back and looking at the pictures, and then it hit them like a brick, I'm sure. So that rifle was the kicker that they immediately recognized that.
Interesting. And so is the suspect back at his own apartment, or is he at the parents' home? Because so I think the apartment's pretty close to the parents' home.
Probably 4 miles apart.
Yeah.
In different cities, just on the south end of town. That initial phone call with my friend occurred. So I get the basic information. I get word that we're trying to bring him in, and but that hasn't occurred yet. So my immediate phone call was to Sheriff Mike Smith in Utah County, and I start, you know, telling him what I was just told, and he's in shock and kind of has to backtrack and say, wait, what are you talking about? And so I repeat myself, and he's, you know, he wants to know, well, how credible is this? And I said, I've worked with this guy for 20 plus years. I trust him with my life. He's not going to be calling me with this information if it's not 100% dead accurate. Now, the wild card there was we hadn't got Tyler into the office quite yet. So within about the hour, so that was 8:02, that initial phone call. By about 8:15, I'm done talking to Sheriff Smith. And then about, it was probably almost 9 p.m. So within the hour, I end up getting a phone call and then a photo sent to me via text message, so just letting me know that my friend had driven Tyler and his parents to my office, and they were sitting in an interview room. So I received that information with a photograph of Tyler sitting in my interview room on a couch. And at that point, our role was just to hold him, not to conduct an investigation or interview him. So it was just kind of a waiting game until the lead investigators came down from Utah County. So they'd been working up there for hours and hours and hours throughout the day, probably very little sleep.
Sure.
And they get a call, you know, 9 o'clock at night saying, hey, by the way, we know you're on 13 hours of working today, but we need you to go to Washington County because we have the suspect down there. So at that point, my office was literally my office within my office.
Right.
it was wide open to people. You know, people were taking power naps on my couch just because they'd been so exhausted, you know, rotating. We had dozens and dozens of, so we had attorneys there from the U.S. Attorney's Office, our county attorney, the Utah County Attorney's Office, FBI, State Bureau of Investigations, our local detectives. So the lead investigators were they basically planned on having a conversation with Tyler and his parents that night, while my deputies and detectives were asked to go out and secure those locations in town, the parents' home and Tyler's apartment and the vehicle that Tyler was likely driving up at UVU.
Now, when your deputies went over to the apartment, was that roommate there?
They did make contact with a roommate at the apartment, but again, it was a holding pattern. So there was very little interaction with him, just enough to make sure that the scene was safe, and then it was just a holding pattern. So we locked the scene down. We made sure that the roommate was safe to deal with, and made him comfortable until the lead investigators came down to conduct those formal interviews.
So is the lead investigator, I'm still confused about this, is it the feds, or is it the Utah Department of Public Safety? Is it the Utah County? Like, I mean, there seem to be a lot of...
So in these types of cases, what happens is obviously all hands on deck because of Charlie Kirk's status and, you know, friends with a lot of Trump and Trump's cabinet and family. And so that the feds got involved because it was such a high profile case, was considered an assassination, that it was a joint investigation. So that would be primarily the state of Utah working shoulder to shoulder with the FBI. But ultimately, it is looking like it's going to be tried as a state case in Utah County.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there'll be some discussions between the federal prosecutors and the state prosecutors, and they want to see, you know, whether Utah statute or federal statute's going to fit best given the circumstances. And because of the language in the federal code, the aggravating circumstances for homicide aren't as broad as the state. So I believe that they decided to look at state charges rather than federal because we have a bigger hammer when it comes to those aggravating circumstances, i.e. in front of youth, things like that we can take into consideration to enhance the charge and to enhance the penalty on the back end if there is a conviction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the state laws are generally tougher, stronger, more applicable to a murder case as opposed to a federal, you know, kidnapping, bank robbery, something like that. So the roommate seems to be pretty important in this. I mean, they did release a transcript of a communication back and forth. I mean, that's the initial draft of this, but I'm still a little confused as to whether or not that was the actual electronic communication or a photocopy of something that was handed to them, which I thought the governor said that that's what that was.
Yeah, I don't have any, like, firsthand knowledge on that. I've just seen what's been in the media, the text thread going back and forth between the two of them, but I don't have any direct knowledge of that.
So your deputies secure that scene, also go look at, make sure the house and the, because you have assets and people there that, well, everybody's up north and, you know, that's, even with lights and sirens, it's still going to take you an hour or two to get there, right? I mean, even
they were going to put them on a helicopter and then they end up having more people that needed to come down. So my understanding is they put them on an airplane and flew them down here. But it was probably 3 hours of a holding pattern. There were some, we do have some local federal agents, both with FBI, U.S. Marshals, Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So they were able to come to the office and out in the field, but they didn't have the background information that the lead investigators have, so they weren't involved in those types of interviews, but we did have some federal resources in the Washington County to help out with some of those investigative needs that were immediate and securing the individuals and the residents in the vehicle.
Interesting. Now, my understanding is, you know, sometimes the media, they get in the way, but it's also partly their job to go try to figure this out right away.
Yeah.
But somebody was squawking early on because you all started getting some calls pretty early, even, right?
Yeah, so I've been, you know, any press release or media information out there that I've put out, I've been very clear to say that we're not the lead investigating agency. We just happen to be the ones that had the suspect in the county, and we're able to get that stabilized. But now I'm getting all kinds of conspiracy theorists reaching out to me about they believe the shooter's still out there, and it looks like he was shot from behind. And I'm like, no, I know the facts. I know enough information that I'm very confident that Tyler Robinson is the shooter. So it's kind of interesting what people just make up. I've been in the media a little bit, but I've never been like having a front row seat with a lot of such nonsense that's put out there. I've seen some reels and memes and AI stuff where, like, Sheriff Mike Smith at one point was in a reel and they were conveying that he was the father that put handcuffs on his son and took him to jail, which is just completely like it's amazing to see what kind of garbage people put out there and how desperate the media is in some cases to receive the information to the point of harassing. So the big one everyone wants to hear out of my mouth who my friend is, the detective that's retired, and I'm just not giving that up. But I've had media that have been relentless in trying to get that information, and my goal is to protect that individual. I don't want him to be harassed. I don't want his name out there. So
sure.
More Jason in the House next.
Free trial is 7 days. If customer does not cancel prior to the end of a trial period, fees will apply.
You hear that? That's the sound of your business losing money. Legacy phone systems weren't built for today's teams. Quo, formerly OpenPhone, gives your business a smarter way to stay connected. Quo lets you manage calls, texts, voicemail, and contacts all in one place, so that you can deliver a seamless customer experience from ring to need to take calls on the go. Quo automatically transcribes, summarizes, and highlights next steps from every call, so you never miss a detail. Need insight into what closes a sale? With Quo's AI call tags, you can instantly spot key topics like objections or pricing questions and use those insights to level up every customer interaction. And yes, you can bring your existing number with you for free. Keep your team in sync and your customers happy with Quo. Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at Quo.com/try and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's Quo.com/try. Quo.com/try.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A Halloween cold case is back in the spotlight in Placer County, California, as investigators push for answers that have escaped them for 30 years. On October 31st, Sherilyn Hockley, a 34-year-old mother of three and elementary school teacher, was found dead in her minivan just a mile from the Eureka Elementary campus where she taught. She was last seen leaving the school's Halloween celebrations Friday, October 29th. Friends say she had just purchased a home in Roseville and was excited for the next chapter of her life. A rope was found next to her body, but her vehicle remains the only known crime scene connected to the case. And despite an extensive investigation at the time, the case went unsolved. Nobody has ever been arrested for her murder. Now, 32 years later, the sheriff's cold case team says it's taking another look, armed with new DNA testing methods and modern investigative tools that weren't available in the 90s. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Fox on Tech.
Apple has new iPhones and other things for you. The Cupertino, California tech giant held its yearly product reveal and promised the world and its devoted customer base it wants to keep to ethos set by its late founder, Steve Jobs, that usable tech must look good, feel good, and work well.
For us, design goes beyond just how something looks or feels. Design is also how it works. This philosophy guides everything we do.
Apple CEO Tim Cook during the presentation, which debuted iPhone 17, along with a Pro and Pro Max version, as well as a super-thin, first-of-its-kind iPhone Air, no thicker than a few credit cards. Improved Apple Watches, including Ultra 3 with satellite connectivity, and AirPods Pro 3 with live translations, allowing wearers to speak with one another in differing languages. You can order your new Apple stuff today with Fox on Tech. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Jason in the House.
Tell me, again, we're talking to Sheriff Nate Brooksby. Let's go way back. Did you tell us about growing up? Because people that get involved in law enforcement, they're just a little bit different, right? They get after things in a good way where, you know, horror and tragedy are happening. They want to be in the mix and they want to help, as opposed to, you know, for a lot of people, they don't have the drive and desire. Yeah. But explain that. Where did that come from in you and your life?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I got into law enforcement on a complete fluke. So basically my wife and I are high school sweethearts and we wanted to get married. And so I was looking for a career. It just so happened that I've been in law enforcement for 29 years now, and looking back, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love my job. I love the experiences I've had. I've loved the training I've had. I've had a lot of opportunities, and I think in my world, I was always looking for more, whether it, you know, being a SWAT cop and a bomb tech at the same time, supervisors on like patrol shifts, working investigations, seeing, you know, dealing with the worst of the worst cases in investigations, homicides, child abuse type cases. You see some horrible things and it can affect you. I think that law enforcement kind of unfortunately defines you as a person, and some of us have a hard time not thinking outside of the law enforcement world. So for me personally, to manage that stress, I encourage all my people to physical fitness, you know, get outdoors, go hiking, go fishing, right. Go to the gym on a regular basis. So in my mind, I'm doing those things daily, but I think the end result is it's helping my mental state because of everything I've been involved in, the stressors I have to deal with at work on a daily basis. Now it's, you know, it used to be chasing cars and people and dealing with homicide cases. Now it's budgets and personnel issues and things like that.
All the glamour of being the sheriff, yes.
Yeah.
Campaigning, raising money for a campaign, all the things you were hoping to do, right?
They didn't teach me any of that in the police academy.
No, they don't teach that. Yeah, exactly. But wait, what was this fluke? Like, how did you accidentally, you know, get...
It came down to I was looking at back then we'd read the newspaper. That's where you looked for jobs back then. We didn't have the internet.
And back in the 1900s? Yes.
It was 1994.
Yeah.
1994-ish. And so I was looking at jobs and advertisements. And so I was looking at either going up to like ITT Technical Institute up in Salt Lake, or I just happened to come across an article that they were having a satellite police academy. So back then, Weber State University had a satellite police academy at Dixie State. And I just thought, okay, so I can keep working full time. I don't have to move out of St. George. Class was nights and weekends. And that's just how it started. My first job was with Washington City in 1996. And then I jumped over to the sheriff's office in 1999. I worked corrections, so that's in the jail. All the sheriffs run county jails, which is a huge undertaking. And then in 2000, I went to patrol, worked for about 5 years. Then I promoted to sergeant, and then eventually lieutenant, and then chief deputy over patrol for about 4 years. And then Sheriff Pulsifer, and he was sick with cancer, and his health made him realize he just needed to retire. The undersheriff at the time decided he was going to retire, so Sheriff Pulsifer made me the undersheriff for about 6 weeks, and then there was a special election with the Republican Party, and I ended up getting voted in with about 76% of the vote as sheriff, and I think because of that, I didn't have anybody run against me in the primary, so it's nice to see the ballot and see that you're the only name on there. You're still curious of how many people actually fill in that little dot, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good friend, though, when I was running, and he was also a member of Congress, and we were talking about reelection, and there was one election, I think it was my second, where I was running unopposed for the Republican nomination. I said, well, so what do you think? Can you help me out? like, you know, kind of hinting that maybe he could donate to my campaign. And he said, yeah, I don't know. I'm still undecided. Yeah. Even though there was no opponent, he said he was still undecided. And I thought, all right, touche. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, but at some point, I hope to do a podcast just about how the jail system works. And there's so many fallacies with how incarceration works. And they show all these movies with guys in big, you know, guns walking around. That is so far from the truth. So at some point we'll do that. But Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast, giving us some insight as to what really went down. I don't expect you to answer or say this, but to me it doesn't seem like it's over yet. I have a hard time, just personally, and I don't want to be the conspiracy guy here. It seems like there's a lot more to this story. I have a hard time believing somebody who was not a student at UVU put all this together all by themselves. Nobody else knew about it. Nobody else helped them. Nobody did anything. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know you can't respond to that, but I think it's going to be fascinating.
I'll give you like a little bit of insight. So I know even though we have the suspect, there's still going to be a case that needs to be put together. There's still thousands of tips that need to go through. So that's one of the benefits of having the FBI involved. They have unlimited resources when it comes to things like that. And I guarantee every stone is going to be turned over. Every tip is going to be followed up on. Every piece of data is going to be followed up on. And if there's any hint, you know, I think the biggest thing is whatever the chat room that Tyler was using on a regular basis. I think there's probably going to be some people that have some involvement or have said things that maybe encouraged Tyler to go down the road that he chose to. So it'll be interesting when they get the data on all those sites.
Well, and that's what we can ask. That's what we ask for as citizens, you know, as Americans. We do this and we don't do it. You know, people get frustrated. They want to know right now, but they got to let these things play themselves out because it is quite a web. And just glad we got good people, like you, hearts in the right place, got the talent to do it, the drive and the energy. And, you go through a lot as a sheriff and all the deputies that you have and the law enforcement. So, Sheriff Nate Brooksby, thank you so much for joining us on Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I want to thank the good sheriff for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast. Really nice of him, and very difficult situation. Love those men and women, the first responders who get out there. They do the right thing. They run towards the problem, not away from the problem. They're special people, and we don't do enough as a community, as a nation, to thank them. They make mistakes too. They're human, but you know what? They do an amazing job. And when your world's not going well and you need help and you need it fast, you're dialing 911 and those operators answer the phone and the people who show up as quickly as possible, they do amazing jobs. I just hope those people understand how much we love and care for them and appreciate them. And I thank Sheriff Brooksby for joining us today. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I want to remind people, I'd appreciate if you could rate it. That would be great. If you could subscribe to it, that's awesome. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. You can also find more on the Fox News Podcast Network over at Fox News Podcast. That's plural, foxnewspodcast.com. Well, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts, you're going to be able to find this. But again, review it, rate it, and join us again next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, ethos.com/Mike.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The Trump administration believes a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is close at hand. President Trump says there's great momentum toward ending the Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza.
The Hamas plan, I tell you, it's amazing. You're going to have peace, if you think about it, peace in the Middle East for the first time in, they say, really, 3,000 years.
Egypt is hosting indirect negotiations between Israel and Hamas amid rising hopes for a possible ceasefire just ahead of Tuesday's two-year anniversary of the war. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is unhappy with President Trump's decision to deploy National Guard troops to Chicago. The White House says the deployments are necessary to combat crime. Appearing on Fox and Friends Weekend, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem accused Chicago protesters of shouting hateful things, putting their hands on ICE officers, and threatening their families.
There should be consequences for that and for leaders that stand up and knowingly lie about the situation on the ground. This is a war zone. His city is a war zone, and he's lying so that criminals can go in there and destroy people's lives.
Meanwhile, in Oregon, a federal judge has halted the president's plan to mobilize 300 troops in Portland. The judge ruled that the city's protests did not justify the use of federalized forces and that Donald Trump likely overstepped his legal authority. Severe rain in Nepal has killed at least 44 people after landslides and flooding. The government has deployed helicopters for medical evacuations. Former NFL quarterback and current Fox Sports analyst Mark Sanchez has been arrested after he was apparently stabbed overnight in downtown Indianapolis. He was charged with three misdemeanors, including public intoxication. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just hearing the word IRS can make people break out in a cold sweat. No one wants to deal with the IRS, and now you don't have to. The good news is Legal Tax Defense has been successfully negotiating with the IRS for more than 15 years. It doesn't matter how much you owe, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million, you deserve the best in the business on your side, and that is Legal Tax Defense. Even if you're working with someone else and just want a second opinion, there is no cost or obligation to call. They can prevent levies, liens, wage garnishments, even file back tax returns. And the best news about Legal Tax Defense is they won't take your case unless they know they will reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call Legal Tax Defense right now for a free, no-risk consultation. 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
It's day five of the federal government shutdown. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum says it's forcing his department and others to scramble.
We're still at work
Our team is at work. We got all of the appointees that the President Trump has made. They're all showing up every day. We're trying to keep things going. But what we're dealing now is with, you know, you're putting out fires because people are calling about a permit here, you know, some opening there, and trying to do everything we can to accommodate citizens.
Burgum was interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are going without paychecks while being on furlough. The mysterious drone flights over the airspace of European Union member countries in recent weeks have alarmed the public and elected officials. Intrusions into NATO's airspace reached an unprecedented scale last month. Some of them were blamed on Russia, and some European officials described the events as Moscow testing NATO's response. News and analysis at townhall.com. A nonprofit organization is aiding the homeless, and they're doing it right on the streets of Miami.
Dr. Inaki Bent and the team at Miami Street Medicine treat the homeless.
We do a focus history and physical exam, and then we address those needs.
They use tablet computers to track vitals for patients like Manuel Rodriguez and offer follow-up visits for chronic conditions.
Hey. We need to take us to the hospital.
This work prevents treatable conditions from becoming emergencies.
Doing this service here helps free up the logjam that we see in many of our emergency rooms.
One challenge is the transient nature of homeless people, which makes it difficult to provide continual care. I'm Ed Donahue.
President Trump has arrived in Norfolk, Virginia this afternoon. He's there for a big celebration. It's the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Navy. Thousands of active duty service members on hand. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go. And come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
President Trump announced a 20-point plan for bringing an end to the war in Gaza during a joint press conference with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu on Monday. Hamas leadership has acknowledged that President Trump's plan is there, but says they will have to consult with other Palestinian factions before issuing a definitive response. Lots to discuss this week. Let's bring in our panel, Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner Byron York, and Fox News senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram.
You had the Secretary of War gather all the generals and admirals from around the world at Quantico and essentially give a speech that he's been giving about warrior ethos and what the military should look like and should not look like. Juan, what do you think the fallout from this is and, you know, the coverage of it?
Well, I think there was a lot of mystery around it. You know, I've never seen anything like it, that you would call in all of your top commanders from around the globe. And, you know, it's a huge security issue and all that. And then say, I'm going to have the secretary, what, you know, the Trump administration calls the Secretary of War, as well as the president, the commander-in-chief, addressed them. Well, everybody thought, what is going on? What are they going to say? In some sense, it just became a political event with Pete Hegseth, the secretary, delivering a strong performance, almost a sort of kind of an inspirational speech, go get him. But, you know, that he cited the name of his book, The War on Warriors, and said, you know, no more talk about diversity, about social equity and all the rest. It was like, wow, okay, so this is like, it was almost like a rally, except the absence was applause. No applause, no response. And I guess that's pro forma for military people. But in terms of what President Trump had to say, it was similarly political. And I think that there is a lot of concern about politicizing the U.S. military here. From the Trump perspective, I think it was a commanding performance in terms of he's able to call in the military and, in his address, say that they could prepare for military, war and the like in American cities. And again, I think there's going to be a lot of response to that, not just from the president's normal critics, but I think people might get a little uncomfortable. So it's rising to another level in terms of armed military, American military, on American streets.
Byron.
Well, you know, on these matters, I often listen to what General Keane has to say. General Keane was pretty darn favorable toward what Hegseth did, because basically Hegseth was saying, and he was echoing what was in his book, A War on Warriors, that you need to go from a woke department to a war department. And he talked about standards of performance for soldiers who have to perform physical tasks in their job. He talked about rules of engagement that had been just lawyered up so much in Iraq and Afghanistan that sometimes the warfighters felt they just couldn't do their job. He talked about a lot of things like that, that General Keane said, look, this is what people talk about in private. And he came out and said it, and that was a good thing. Now, Hegseth has been saying this stuff in the months that he's actually been in the job. My guess is that he wanted to have this big event to sort of codify the whole thing, sort of present it in one whole, and then having the president there, you know, just increase the amount of attention to it.
Finally, Chad, on the peace deal, that, you know, there's so many different things happening. This is a major thing. Mm-hmm. Still waiting on Hamas to respond. How is the reception to that up on Capitol Hill? And is there a sense that there is realism to this as opposed to other deals that seem to go nowhere?
You know, when you talk to some members, they are cautiously optimistic. I think they, you know, some people here, even on the Democratic side, might be willing to give President Trump a little bit of the benefit of the doubt if this works out. The proof of the pudding will be in the eating, of course. Republicans, obviously, most of those who are acolytes and loyal to the president, they'll say, yes, this is great. He's really getting things done. But as you say, it's not all worked out yet. I think that there is an appetite on Capitol Hill on both sides of the aisle to work this out, period. You know, we are very quickly approaching the two-year anniversary, October 7th, of course, and so people just say, we have to put out this fire at some point. It has driven a schism through the Democratic Party, you know, just from a political standpoint. Not address the war and the carnage and the everything that's going on over there right now, but politically, this has been a real problem for the Democratic Party, and I think if they can figure out a way to say, okay, there's some peace, things have calmed down, you know, maybe then we can reassess politically where this takes us. That's one part of it. But, I will say it is a little bit hard to get a full gauge on this because the House of Representatives is not in session since this came out, obviously. You know, Mike Johnson made a point that they're not going to be in session until next week. So, you know, there's only a handful of Republicans here, a lot of House Democrats here right now, but the House is not in session.
All right, panel, thank you. Now for a bit of history. On October 1st, 1975, boxing legends Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier met for their third and final showdown, dubbed the Thrilla in Manila, the bout serving as the decisive tiebreaker after their two previous clashes, has since been regarded as one of the greatest fights in boxing history, in part due to its distinction of being the first boxing match to be broadcast live via satellite. For 14 brutal rounds, Ali and Frazier traded blows until Frazier's corner stopped the fight, handing Ali the victory and closing the book on their legendary rivalry. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Juan, Byron, and Chad, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
If accepted by Hamas, this proposal calls for the release of all remaining hostages. To ensure the success of this effort, my plan calls for the creation of a new international oversight body, the Board of Peace.
Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump, a historic day here at the White House. Joining us now, the Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Brett.
How do you characterize this day?
Epic, really groundbreaking. And the president wants to see an overall peace. It's not just about Gaza. It's about how this might percolate into all other areas in the Middle East and what it's going to achieve, maybe even percolate into Russia-Ukraine.
We've gotten word that Hamas has been briefed, official telling us that Qatar's prime minister, Egypt's intelligence chiefs met with Hamas negotiators, shared the 20-point plan. Hamas negotiators said they would review it in good faith and provide a response. Do you have any sense yet from that side?
No, but I think I don't have a sense yet, but I'll speak to Prime Minister Mohammed, and I'm sure it's General Hassan from Egypt who you're referring to, and I'll speak to him as well. But I think that sounds like a very positive initial reaction for a group that hasn't really had time to study our plan.
There was this moment in the Oval Office, and the Israelis tweeted it out, the phone call with the Israeli Prime Minister and the Qatari Prime Minister, in which they made this call, and he says, Mr. Prime Minister, I want you to know that Israel regrets that one of your citizens was killed in our strike. I want to assure you that Israel was targeting Hamas, not Qataris. I also want to assure you that Israel has no plan to violate your sovereignty again in the future. I mean, that's a big moment.
I was there for the call, Brett, and I thought, wow, this is so historic. There's an Israeli Prime Minister communicating directly with the Qatari Prime Minister, and they're there to explain what happened, to apologize, and to hopefully move on from there. And it was a really positive and uplifting call.
You've dealt with all of these figures in that region. You know how tenuous this can be. One step forward, two steps back.
Yes.
You feel this one is different?
I do, because we have so much widespread support from all of the Gulf Coast Arab countries. We have widespread support from the Europeans. I just left a meeting with the British, talked to the French. So we have a lot of support for the plan, a lot of buy-in. Do we have some details to work out? Yes. But you know President Trump as well as I do. With that indomitable spirit of his, everyone's going to be pushed by him, and I think we're going to get to the finish line.
How much did he have to push Bibi Netanyahu?
I think Bibi is strong for his country, and the president has a great respect for that. But we work, Jared Kushner and I, and under the leadership of Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Former senator, yeah.
Former senator, but he's the greatest Secretary of State, so I'm going to use that title. We've been working all weekend on this. And so the Israelis have bought into this. As the Prime Minister said, they want to do it the easy way first. So no threats. Let's see if we can peacefully get everybody home. On both sides, by the way, on the Palestinian side as well as the Israeli side.
You know, as we look at the map, it is kind of a phased situation with the withdrawal and all these things that have to happen. There's a
Correct.
Lot of pieces that are moving here, right?
Well, it has to be. It has to be because a new government is going to come in. And that will be, in large part, Palestinians, governing Palestinians. And so that new government has a lot to do. They need to get a security force in there. And we were just upstairs, as a matter of fact, talking about this with a particular country as to whether they could handle the job. So I think you can't withdraw altogether until you get the security forces in there.
And so the difference is the buy-in, right? The buy-in from the Gulf states, the buy-in from the region.
Correct.
The pressure on Hamas.
Remember, this thing has been brewing for 75 years. I mean, no one could figure it out. And so I think it's sort of astonishing to many people that it could happen this fast. But that's what happens when you get President Trump bought into the fact that that he wants to see a peace deal here. This is how efficiently it moves.
Do you want to put chances on it?
I'd say I'm very optimistic. That's what I would say. And I'm hopeful at the same time. I really am hopeful because I've met people on both sides, and this needs to end.
Russia-Ukraine, totally different situation, and we'll talk about that another time. We appreciate your time. Steve Witkoff, thanks so much.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
This is House Call for Health. Experts are weighing in on how important it is for kids to never miss breakfast. Cleveland Clinic children's nutritionists say if kids don't have breakfast in the morning, they have trouble staying awake and can't focus on information. This is caused by drops in blood sugar, which impacts their brain, mood, and energy level. Experts recommend at least four things in a breakfast: healthy fats, carbohydrates, protein, and fiber. Good options might be hard-boiled eggs, cheese sticks, fruit, Greek yogurt, turkey sausage, protein pancakes, oatmeal, or overnight oats. They recommend avoiding anything sugary, and for cereal, make sure it's whole grain, low in sugar, and high in fiber. Jennifer Highland is a registered dietitian at Cleveland Clinic Children's and says if kids aren't eating in the morning, they're going to have trouble absorbing the information that they're supposed to be learning. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Michigan police officer's kindness that left a woman deeply moved makes today's Dean's List. Officer Jonathan Cox noticed Dory Oliver having trouble pushing her lawnmower and her walker at the same time. Dory told Jonathan she didn't have anyone to help cut the grass, and because of her mobility issues, it has become very difficult to perform everyday chores inside and outside her home. Officer Cox said he wanted to help, so after his shift, Jonathan returned to Dory's house as promised and not only mowed her lawn, but helped clear debris and cleaned her gutters. Officer Cox then spent 2 days helping Dory out. Dory was so touched by Jonathan's selfless act, she called the police chief to praise Officer Cox and said he did it out of the kindness of his heart. Jonathan says he feels blessed to be able to help those in his community personally and professionally. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1986.
Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Engines throttling up, 3 engines now at 104%.
Challenger, go and throttle up. Roger, go and
throttle up. Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
An official announcement from the Council of Ministers. There has been an accident at the Chernobyl atomic power station.
Clearly, this disease, which strikes men and women, children and adults, people of all races, must be stopped. It is estimated that 1.5 million people are now infected with the AIDS virus.
The United States has not swapped boatloads of plane loads of American weapons for the return of American hostages, and we will not.
News as it happens.
News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
If anyone wanted evidence as to who wanted this shutdown, just look at the fact that Johnson does not even have the House in session.
As long as we have a Speaker of the House who is not willing to come back in with his members, then it's going to be hard to get this resolved.
All along, Republicans wanted to shut the government down.
Let's welcome in Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Good to see you, sir. Thank you for taking the time. I know that you have been very busy.
Busy day. Those clips are hilarious to me. The House did its job. The House Republicans did our job. It's been over 2 weeks. We passed that continuing resolution. It's clean. It's simple. It's 24 pages in length. We were simply trying to buy time. And this is really important for everybody to remember, John. The reason we're doing this is that the appropriators are trying to rebuild the muscle memory to do appropriations, to spend taxpayer dollars responsibly. And that takes 12 separate appropriate bills. We were doing that, working through the process. We ran out of time. We need 7 more weeks. So we put a clean CR on the table, assuming that everybody, all the Democrats, would do the right thing. They've rejected it. Now, 3 times, as of today, the Senate Democrats, 44 of them, have voted that CR, the clean CR, down. And they proposed Chuck Schumer's version, which is a dirty CR. Why do we say that? Because he wants to add $1.5 trillion in new spending to a 7-week stopgap measure. And they want to give health care to illegal aliens, claw back the funds that we put in for rural hospitals and all sorts of other mayhem. We can't do that. We're just not going to do it.
So this is the real point of contention here. I mean, obviously, they want to restore some of the cuts that were enacted in the Big Beautiful Bill when it comes to Medicaid funding, etc. But Democrats insist our bill does not provide federal dollars for health care for illegal immigrants. And you say what?
I say they obviously have not read their bill. This counterproposal that he filed, everybody can Google it, go pull it up. It's on the Senate's website and in the legislative text. Go to page 57 of Chuck Schumer's bill and look at section 2141. It says right there in plain language they want to repeal the health provisions of the One Big Beautiful Bill.
I do part ways with you here on this idea of plain language.
Well, okay.
I read that whole section. It might as well be written in Mandarin.
And that's probably why the Democrats don't understand what they filed. But if you interpret that and you get through all the subsections, what you realize is they're trying to take out the in its entirety the reforms that we put into the Big Beautiful Bill pertaining to health. And why is that so important? Because what we did was we strengthened the Medicaid program by making sure that ineligible recipients are not on the rolls. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, on August 25th published a letter and they said this is going to do exactly what Republicans said. They estimate that 2.3 million illegal recipients for Medicaid will be pushed off the rolls because of our reforms, and that it's going to save $185 billion of taxpayer funds. So they want to return all those ineligible people back to the rolls, and many of them are illegal aliens. That is a fact, and anybody who looks at it objectively has to say it's true.
So you say it's a clean CR. The Democrats say it's a dirty CR. But the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget seems to side with you. This is what the policy director, Chris Tanner, said. The House CR is just about as clean of a CR as you could get. They really did seem to not want to rock the boat with it. It's been pointed out that this is a similar funding measure that Chuck Schumer and eight other Democrats voted for in March. But it's a little bit apples to oranges because there have been a lot of changes made between March and now, including cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill, rescissions package, the president's pocket rescission. So do the Democrats have a point that, hey, this is not what we voted for?
They don't have a point. The time and the place to argue over all of that is in the appropriations process. That's how the system works. What we're just trying to do is buy time. And they're exactly right in that analysis. I could have loaded this up with all sorts of partisan provisions and our policy writers and everything that we want. But we didn't do that because we're operating in good faith, and we want our partners on the other side of the aisle to go along with us so that the appropriators can go and debate all these issues. That's how the system works, and they're preventing it.
So you and others, including the vice president earlier today, have said that Chuck Schumer is digging at his feet now because of challenges from the left, particularly this idea of a threat of being primaried by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in 2028. Here is what she said about all that. Listen here.
I saw some Republican members of Congress saying, oh, well, if we have this shutdown, it's because of AOC. Well, if that's the case, my office is open and you are free to walk in and negotiate with me directly.
Bypass Chuck Schumer, just negotiate with
sure.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But there are a growing number of Democrats in the House who are saying Schumer should not be holding all the cards here. He's got a challenge on his left flank.
Well, he does. It's a terribly selfish decision. He is worried about that left flank, and he took a lot of heat when he did the right thing back in March on the exact same provision, the exact same CR. Go roll the tape. He gave impassioned speeches on why he had to do that, why it was the right thing, because they didn't want to inflict pain on the American people. That's exactly what's happening right now, John. Real people are suffering because of this.
I want to flash back quickly to the 1990s, 1993 and 1996, and this is what some very prominent Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer, were saying about illegal immigration and health care. Listen here.
We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
People say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud.
Just got a few seconds left, Mr. Speaker. How did the Democrats go from that to where they are today?
You know what happened? The people started to leave the party. They were losing voters. They still are. And in their desperation, they said, we'll turn illegals into voters. John, that's exact. Sounds like a conspiracy theory. It's exactly what happened. They switched all their positions for political expediency, and now they're making the American people pay for that. It's wrong, and it should.
How long is this going on?
I hope it's a short one because real people are suffering because of this.
The last one was 35 days. We'll see. Mr. Speaker, thank you for taking the time from a busy day.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness, but love, not only justice, but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
The world's most premature baby born in Iowa makes the Dean's List for turning a year old this past summer. Molly and Randall Keene marked their son Nash and his miracle birth, having been born at just 21 weeks. He's nicknamed Nash Potato, and his mom was so scared he wouldn't survive since she was diagnosed with a condition that can lead to premature labor. But thanks to the doctors and nurses at Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital, Nash was given a fighting chance. Weighing at only 10 ounces and measuring under 10 inches long, Nash was given a breathing tube and a fighting chance. His parents say everyone at the hospital made them feel supported, and they became their family as the days were filled with uncertainty and round-the-clock care, along with risky surgery to keep him alive. But Nash prevailed, and after 189 days, the Keens went home, and he's thriving. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Our troops are not getting paid starting today because of the Chuck Schumer wing of the Democratic Party.
Chuck Schumer is scared of his radical left-wing base. That's why we're in the Schumer shutdown.
If the Schumer shutdown ends, then we can actually do something positive.
Every Republican who's gone on TV the last, 9 hours or so has called this the Schumer shutdown. What do you think about that name?
Well, it's really the Trump shutdown.
All right, those are the arguments over the shutdown, which is in effect now, I guess, for a little more than 18 hours. Let's bring in our panel to chew this over. Fox News contributor Guy Benson, Democratic campaign consultant Kevin Walling, and Olivia Beavers of the Wall Street Journal. So, Olivia, why don't you start us off tonight? Is it the Schumer shutdown or the Trump shutdown?
You know, I think we'll actually find that out when the polls come through. But right now, it is a blame game all over Capitol Hill, and Democrats and Republicans are having their own press conferences. They're trying to control the narrative. But we're going to see how this ends and who the voters ultimately blame for it.
So the Wall Street Journal editorial board thinks that Democrats marched into a shutdown trap. This is what they wrote. Left-wing Democrats like the Freedom Caucus before them enter the shutdown in a position of weakness. President Donald Trump and his budget director, Russ Vogt, have now extraordinary authority to choose which agencies to close, what spending to prioritize, and even which government workers to lay off. The White House really is driving the bus on this. They're canceling projects in Democratic states, warning that layoffs may be irretrievable. I mean, even on government websites, take a look at this, like the HUD website, blaming the Democrats for everything that's going on. It says the radical left in Congress shut down the government. I mean, the White House has got an opportunity here to make some of the changes they wanted to make for a long time.
Yeah, you have the pro-government, big government party forcing this shutdown, and you have the government skeptical party administering it. So I'm not sure this has been thought through very well by the Democrats. Their base is spoiling for a fight, and they've got one. It's very stupid. It's unwinnable. It is the Schumer shutdown because the Republicans have funded the government, and they've actually given the Democrats what the Democrats' typical demand is in situations like this,
but the Democrats have decided that they're going to take a page out of the failed playbook of past shutdowns and see if it ends differently. I'd be very surprised if it does.
So, Kevin, the big argument here is that the Democrats, at least on the Republican side, is that the Democrats want to give money for health care to illegal immigrants. Here's Chuck Schumer and J.D. Vance on that. Listen here.
They know damn well that the law is that no Medicare, Medicaid, or ACA funds can go to undocumented immigrants.
There are two Biden-era programs that explicitly gave the taxpayer health care money to illegal aliens that we turned off when President Trump took over in January. The Democrats want to turn it back on. It is in the text of the bill that they initially gave to us to reopen the government.
So who's right here, Kevin?
Well, I think Leader Schumer is, and it's been clear that this has been the case with folks here, not legally, that they're not entitled to any kind of government subsidy or when it comes to health care, Medicaid, Medicare. I do think this is a winning issue for Democrats. Increasingly, we've seen the economy be stronger for Donald Trump, even tariff policy going into his direction in recent weeks. But health care policy is still a top concern of voters. We're going to see that play out in New Jersey and Virginia, and increasingly Democrats have a higher share of the voters' perspective when it comes to who's stronger on health care. So to Guy's point, we are itching for this fight. This is something that, you know, obviously you need 60 votes in the Senate. This is one of the few things procedurally Democrats can do to force the president and the Senate Republicans' hands, and you're going to see this process play out.
So Kevin says, oh, go ahead, Guy.
The problem with that, of course, is that Chuck Schumer is saying it's a lie, these illegal immigrants aren't getting health care, and he has members of his own party on Capitol Hill saying the opposite, saying, well, illegal immigrants would get some, but not very much. They're not even getting their story straight amongst themselves.
Well, we should point out that when Speaker Johnson was here a little while ago, he mentioned page 57, section 2141 of the Democrats' CR, which undoes the cuts that were made in the Big Beautiful Bill, which tightened up the rules regarding giving health care to illegal immigrants. But here's the reality of the situation. If an illegal immigrant walks into an emergency room anywhere across the country and seeks health care, the federal government is on the hook for part of that.
Yeah, well, I think Republicans are hammering that. Democrats are saying it's untrue.
I mean, that's the law. I mean, the law was enacted in 1990.
John, yeah, it goes back to a law I think Ronald Reagan first signed into law, where if you present at an emergency facility, you cannot be denied care. So this is
right. Then the hospital can seek reimbursement
funds,
from the
certainly.
Federal government.
Yeah.
So the federal government is on the hook for some of that health care. I want to take you back, Olivia, because
yes.
I love going into the Wayback Machine, to September of 1993, when Hillary Clinton said this. Listen here.
We do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is.
I mean, you could hear those words coming out of J.D. Vance's mouth.
Yeah, and I think this is the issue that Democrats have really struggled with, especially past the election. They realized that Trump was hitting them and winning on the border security message, on talking about tamping down on illegal immigration, and I still don't think Democrats have fully figured out what their messaging is going to be, and it's something that as they figure out who their leader of their party is, maybe that will come together, but they're still trying to figure it out, and it's being brought up in this broader discussion.
So how much of this, Kevin, is Schumer getting heat from the left and a potential primary challenge from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, should he choose to run, which everybody thinks he will, in 2028?
Listen, I think he's getting heat from the base of the Democratic Party that is, like as I said, itching for this fight. But I think you just look back at the record. Going back to August 4th, you saw Leader Jeffries and Schumer requesting a Big Four meeting to discuss budget negotiations, followed up 2 weeks later, right? And what you saw is Speaker Johnson adjourn the House for that time, based on a lot of other different factors. Democrats have been in Washington the last couple of days and weeks itching to get a bipartisan negotiation. The same thing we did under Joe Biden, where the government didn't shut down because we had bipartisan negotiations in the Senate. Unless you got 60 votes, you got to come to the table and make a case to the minority party to get those votes back to the fold. And that's what you're seeing Schumer doing.
So what the Republican leadership is saying is, look, you know, we can have that fight, but let's keep the government government running. Let's pass this CR during the time between now and November the 21st, I believe it is. Let's have those negotiations. Let's try to fix these problems. Let's do it in a bipartisan way. Don't hold us hostage with this CR.
That is the Democrats' argument from previous shutdowns. Republicans are just printing it out and reading the Democrats' script because it's all flipped here. Look, Schumer, I think, is clearly feeling this pressure from his left. He's trying to impress the base and show this moxie that he's got. How's that going to go when he inevitably caves? They're going to be angry at him all over again. I don't think there's a real end game that they have contemplated properly here. That's my sense.
Olivia, do you think that Schumer will ultimately cave?
I think that there has to be some sort of off-ramp that they're looking at. Maybe it's a two-week CR. I know that's being discussed among senators, but we'll see what it looks like and probably some assurances of further negotiation.
Oh, we'll see how it goes. Great to catch up with you, folks. Will. Kevin, good to see you again. It's been a minute.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
The Brett Baer Show coming up.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty-free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test. Just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders. The evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday is your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Fox News Audio presents Blood Mountain. Deep in the forests of Georgia, one hike turned into a nightmare.
Calculated. Savage. Homicidal maniac.
One woman's disappearance sent shockwaves across the nation. The ensuing search for a suspect revealed something more sinister. A serial killer was on the loose.
The more we heard about it, the worse they thought.
The Blood Mountain Podcast. Listen and follow starting October 14th at foxtruecrime.com. From around the world.
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
My constituents know that this has been caused by the Republicans' failure to govern. But my constituents don't care about the finger-pointing. They just want us to govern.
People say, why aren't you negotiating with Schumer and Jeffries? Because I quite literally have nothing to negotiate. There's nothing I can pull out of the bill that was a Republican priority.
The Republicans have control of the White House, of the Senate, and of the House. They are in charge. They are accountable.
Well, the finger-pointing and the debate continue over the government shutdown. Let's dig deeper on it by bringing in our panel, former Republican National Committee Communications Director Doug High, Tom Bevin, Real Clear Politics co-founder and president, and USA Today White House correspondent Francesca Chambers. I want to start off the panel with a couple of reality checks. First, on this idea of money for health care for illegal aliens. Democrats say it doesn't exist, but let's put up on the screen the clause in their continuing resolution that they wanted to get passed, which eliminates restrictions contained in the Big Beautiful Bill. It basically restores money for undocumented immigrants paroled into the country or here under TPS, restores full emergency room funding under Medicaid for illegal aliens. And even Ro Khanna admitted, yes, there is some money for illegal aliens. Listen here.
The amount of money that actually is going towards people who are undocumented is such a small portion of the Medicaid cuts or the Affordable Care Act, if at all.
And it's such a small portion, but Francesca, it would appear to be, despite Democrats' protestations that it's not, it would be there.
So part of the disagreement here is over the point where you're making about undocumented is that some of these immigrants who came into the country came in and then the Biden administration said that they could stay. So they're legally in the country regardless of how they entered into it. Lawfully present inside the United States. Regardless, John, the White House thinks at this point that they are winning this messaging war with Democrats right now. They say that they're taking this, you know, day by day. They think that historically the party that has been seen as voting against the resolution is the one that gets blamed for the shutdown. So they're waiting to see what happens here. But if you look at the Washington Post poll that came out, there's some warning signs for the White House in that. You have a situation where independents are saying that they blame the president and the White House and Republicans for this shutdown. And then generally speaking, among a broader electorate, you're seeing that more Americans are blaming Republicans in this particular situation than Democrats.
Does blame really matter at this point?
No, I don't know that it does. I mean, eventually it will. I mean, if we look at shutdowns past, certainly when Republicans were, they took the brunt of one of the previous shutdowns, and it cost them politically. But both sides are existing in their own sort of information bubbles on this, and both sides think they have the upper hand in the politics. And I'm sure their supporters are both in favor of what Republicans are doing and what Democrats are doing. And the question is, what are independents going to do? And how much is that really going to move the needle overall? But I do think Republicans are winning at least this initial messaging war. And we saw, to your point, Democrats said first it's a lie and then said, well, okay, maybe it's true a little bit, but not as true as you know, J.D. Vance is saying.
So, Doug, you've always got a very balanced perspective on things. What do you think should happen here?
Look, I don't think anything of this is dollars and cents. And what's interesting is, you know, we often hear that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. So let's talk about the rhyme. October 2nd, 2013, I was working in that building behind you, and we were dealing with a shutdown. We were dealing on our second day of a shutdown, just like we are now, over the word fight. And it's because enough Republicans in the House Republican Conference, led on by some Republican senators, said, we need to fight and defund Obamacare. We didn't have a strategy to land a punch, knock down our opponent, win the fight. We just had to show that we wanted to fight. Where are Democrats now? We got to fight. We got to fight Donald Trump. We got to stand up to him. They have, if you look at the interviews that Hakeem Jeffries did, he has no plan to land a punch, win a round, or win the fight. He says, if we stay around long enough, we're going to win. That's not a strategy. You don't win politically if you don't have a strategy.
Yeah. Hey, the other reality check.
comes in the form of what President Trump was saying on Truth Social about getting together with his OMB director, Russ Vought, to talk about changing the face of the federal government. He said, I have a meeting with Russ Vought, he of Project 2025 fame, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies he recommends to be cut, whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. Remember what Donald Trump said a year ago. I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who's behind it. So I'm wondering, Francesca, did he just learn about Project 2025 in the last year, or did he know about it all along?
And it's also not clear, John, whether or not he was actually sitting there with Russ Vought and going line by line, you know, himself and deciding what is or isn't being cut here, because, of course, prior to this, the Office of Management and Budget, as well as the Office of Personnel Management, they had sent out messages to these various agencies saying, no, you send us plans for who you think that you should cut, and then we'll approve them. And I will also note that one of the messages that was sent out last weekend told them, oh, by the way, we might also bring people back to have the minimum number required to fulfill the statutory mandate. So it's not clear how many of these, even if they were fired, would be permanent, and how much of this is, you know, a strategy to try and get Democrats to the table.
But Tom, this could be much different than shutdowns in the past, where people got furloughed and then, for the most part, they all got brought back. People might get furloughed, then they might get laid off, and they might lose their jobs.
That's right. It could be very different. And I do think that is a concern that Democrats will bring them back to the table and will eventually end this thing, probably sooner rather than later, because the Trump administration, again, feels like they have the upper hand, feels like they're driving the messaging war, and now are going to see this as an opportunity to do further what they were doing during DOGE, but again, under different circumstances and ones that are much more politically favorable to them.
Yeah, we talked to the Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, about it. Here's what he said.
It is easier to make cuts during a time when the government is shut down. And any one of us that have been in these positions that have worked in the private sector can see the amount of inefficiency in government. And if the Democrats are going to give us this chance, let's make sure we take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's the last part of what he said there. If the Democrats are going to give us this chance to change the structure of government, let's take advantage of that. Democrats have to be looking at that and saying, oh my God, what kind of cudgel did we just hand them?
Well, first, I'm pro-Doug. I'm always pro-Doug. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to Tom's point, I think the longer this goes on, the reality of the Democrats sort of Jedi mind-tricking themselves into fight is enough and fight is a strategy will backfire on them. Because if Trump goes through with exactly what he's talking about, Russ Vought is talking about, Doug Burgum has just said in that piece, then essentially they will have enabled, forget the politics, policies that they will howl over. And ultimately, and we've seen this already with New York City, Donald Trump is grabbing Chuck Schumer's fists and he's playing the stop hitting yourself game. You need a strategy to win here, and it's not clear that the Democrats have that. Fight is not an answer. It's not a strategy.
Well, if they lose this fight and Donald Trump restructures the federal government, it'll give the Democrats something to fight about next year. Five different palm cards, which are hand-sized note cards frequently used by politicians for quick reminders or talking points during public events, especially while on the campaign trail, were uncovered amid an investigation. Four of the five cards obtained by Fox Digital are stamped with a disclaimer reading, President has seen. Now, a lot of presidents use note cards or they use paper notes or whatever, but these, let's put one of them up on the screen, were unusually detailed. They had photographs of people like Denzel Washington, Chef Jose Andre, David Rubenstein of the Kennedy Center, Hillary Clinton, with little bio notes. Doug, is that a little weird?
Well, this is what staff does. It's your job as a staffer to go as detailed as possible. Maybe you don't need a picture of Hillary Clinton. I think we all, even Joe Biden, knows what she looks like. But this is what the staff's job is to do. But it also highlights, I think, a challenge that Joe Biden had, an overprotective staff. We never saw him in public for reasons that I think some of what was understandable. But as we just heard the secretary say, you know, he doesn't need anything. Turns out he did. Most politicians do. If you act normally, sometimes you're able to have a normal outcome. This just shows how they didn't act normally so often and trying to be so overprotective of Biden.
One of the other note cards had Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Majority Whip Richard Durbin, their picture on it. I mean, if you don't know who they are, you haven't been in Washington for very long. But again, with the photographs and everything, but we were talking off camera, and maybe
right.
This isn't so unusual for people.
And President Trump is using a teleprompter, right? We just saw last week at the United Nations.
He's had notes at some events as well.
Right. Like, and John, you and I covered the White House together during the first Trump administration when he was coming with lists of journalists as well, who he was supposed to call on in those press conferences too. He was very traditional in that way. way, and I think President Biden was too. What I think is quite different this time, actually, is their approach to some of these things, where now you see him taking these questions in the Oval Office, so you can't come in with a list of names, right? Because he's just taking questions as they're being fired off from him. He's not even having a lot of those times of kind of those press conferences, right, where they even have lists of journalists, right? He's just calling people all across the room, even when he's having those. And traditionally, we saw with other presidents, with those joint press conferences with world leaders, that they would come in with lists of people who they were planning to call on, too. So in many ways, it highlights how different, I guess, this White House is operating, even from Trump 1 as well as President Biden.
You know, I will say, while I've seen Donald Trump use notes in the past, I mean, the way that he freelances and ad-libs, 99.9% of what he does really is different than most other presidents. Folks, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. Great to see you all.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just $20, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.